allow you to close your eyes. Nelson Mandela, when he came out of years of unjust imprisonment for apartheid, you know, he didn't come out bitter. He didn't come out a victim. He didn't come out bent on revenge. He came out whole. You get the feeling that even had he died in prison, he would have died a free man. For spirit. Breathe deep into the place where the image of God becomes flesh and blood. Favorite current teachers, James Finley, says this. Do you realize that you are unbearably beautiful in the intimacy of the broken places? And you breathe that in and you walk with it. If you can do that, you join God in being one with the endlessly precious nature of yourself. We make the mistake of thinking that wholeness is something outside. And we think we can only get it if we are able to overcome the complexity and confusion of our mumbling selves. The liberation we're looking for all along is embodied in the very deep acceptance of how precious we are, even with the unfinished business of our own heart. God's love for us is already completely given in the midst of our incompleteness. For God, there is nothing missing in the midst of all the missing pieces. Drop down into our authentic self. It's important for our own healing, but it's also where the compass is that directs us. This is the place of prayer. It's the place of transformation. and oneness beyond the self. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. Can you sing that to yourself? You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. And if we can receive that, then when we open our eyes and look around, we can sing that to each other and mean it. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. One more time. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. Came across a quote I really liked. I'm Scottish, I have to be a little bit sarcastic. Deep down in the bowels of everyone, there lives a horrible, unclean larva. Lean over and say to this larva, I love you. And it will sprout wings and become a butterfly. So as I said earlier, today is Palm Sunday, and it's my great pleasure to be invited to speak and share my thoughts with you. Please take what is useful and leave the rest. I wish all ministers would say that. So this is the day that Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, and it's the start of Holy Week. And my message today will focus on the inevitable and importance of the time of trial. But to get into that place, I thought we'd start in song. So this is called the Deer's Cry, or St. Patrick's Breastplate. 400 years after the first Easter in Ireland, St. Patrick was newly back in Ireland. When he was a younger man, he was a slave there, and he escaped, but he came back, and he came back with this message of this Christ light, and it was 400 years after Easter, so he decided to celebrate Easter, and he lit a big bonfire, which was a great insult to the king, who was on the next hill, because it was Beltane that day, Beltane, which is the pagan festival, 1st of May. And there was all these prophecies about the fire, and nobody was allowed to light the fire other than the king. And the king looks over, and here's this English upstart lighting a fire. So he sends an army to kill him and put out the fire. And, of course, St. Patrick starts praying like crazy. And this is this is the prayer. Or it's a modern translation of the prayer. And one of the things that's really beautiful about this is the circling, you know, that wonderful earth-based practice of placing God within you and all around you. It's a bit like calling in the directions. I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of sun, radiance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of the sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me. God's eye to look before me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me from all who should wish me ill, afar and near, alone and in a multitude, against every cruel, merciless power that may oppose my body and my soul. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ to shield me. Love with me, love before me, love behind me, love in me, love beneath me, love above me, love on my right, love on my left, love when I lie down, love when I sit down, love when I arise, love to shield me, love in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, love in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. I arise today, I face the day, I arise today, stand and face the day, I arise today, stand and face this day. It's quite an amazing song, isn't it? Were there any phrases from it that spoke to you as you were reading along? Before we move on, how many people do a morning affirmation as they're stepping out of bed or as they're first? Yeah, it's a really powerful thing. If you have the very first thing, if you state in out loud or just silently in your head, what is your purpose today? Yeah.
Oh, that's similar to what I was going to say. You added at the end, I arise and face the day.
Yes, I did.
That sounds like an expression of courage. And there are some days... some days when you feel like you need a little courage.
Absolutely. I did that specifically because it was Palm Sunday. And because that was perfect. You led into my message perfectly. You can pick up
your
free CD on the way out of the door. I'm going to open the message card with more words from this teacher, James Finley. I've never met him, but I'm a big fan. He does a lot of, he's a psychotherapist, and he used to be a monk with Thomas Merton. And he's still alive, and he's very wise.
I just want to place a context. These are his words.
We should never romanticize trauma and suffering with spiritual sayings.
We should never romanticize trauma. They are horrible things, and it matters that you can get as free from them as you possibly can. But you can go through that evolving process in such a way that becomes a very mysterious place inside you. Namely, it becomes a place in which your inner peace is no longer dependent on the outcome.
He goes on to say, how can I become like the hero of the human spirit that looks out at the sometimes cruel but always beautiful, mysterious world and offer myself? How can I offer myself?
I think step one is just surviving, keeping your head above water, to keep on walking in the storm. Earlier we sang Amazing Grace. And grace is one of those words that Christians used to use that I could never understand. But grace, it turns out, was the life vest, or you Americans call it a personal flotation device, that I was wearing all the time, but I didn't even know it.
Mary Stevenson describes it this way in her poem Footsteps in the Sand, which you probably know.
One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my God, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life, and for each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and the other to my God. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. And this really troubled me, so I asked God about it. God, you said once, if I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. And I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave. God whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, even during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Once we sink into the groundedness of our being, we find the stability of solid ground beneath our feet, no matter how deep we've sunk. When my life was shattered and when everything fell away, I saw so much love and compassion in the actions of others. My heart was deeply touched by the kindness that people carry around inside them. It was unbearable. That place where love, grace, or God in the form of your wee dog is carrying you through the hard days. That's what we're talking about here. In that moment, when you can't cope, when all you can do is just keep your head above water, something either appears or wakes up inside us. I think it's a waking up process. And we experience the world very differently. In this place, surface things hold no value. They don't distract us. I mean, who cares if Oprah Winfrey or the Pope likes my deep peace song? Nobody. In a situation when you're carrying the weight of your life, none of those popularity or surface things matter. And amidst that chaos, there's a sense of acceptance and belonging that can come through. For me, there was a deep understanding that I was not a mistake and that I was meant to be here because God was so close, especially as I breathed. God is present in every detail of our lives, but we forget to notice. And then when things go wrong, we start praying like crazy, and we do start looking. Our eyes are open wide, maybe out of terror, but our eyes are open wide. Even before I became a minister, I noticed God's companioning presence in the lives and details of the people who were going through most awful things. I was a counselor, and I worked in homelessness, and I worked in domestic violence. And I was often astonished that people wouldn't just give up, and how they found their way, what their internal compass was, that often allowed them to be quite loving and quite hopeful and long-sighted in how they were navigating this wild, wild sea. Okay, I'm going to jump back to Palm Sunday now. So next Thursday coming, according to the Bible, Jesus will be in the Garden of Gethsemane, pacing backward and forth and waiting for his arrest and betrayal by his own community. It describes him as the sweat pouring off him like blood. I imagine him pacing back and forth. He's losing it. Jesus is losing it. This is what he says in Luke. "Abba, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." And at that point, something very interesting happens that nobody talks about. An angel comes to comfort and strengthen him. So he's on his knees and he can't cope with his life because he sees and feels it. He can feel it coming. He wasn't strong enough without the receiving of grace and the strengthening from his God that he loved so much. I once had to act out and direct a reenactment of this story by flaming torchlight in the cloisters of the abbey where I worked. And it's very deeply imprinted on my DNA. I remember so many of the details, the temperature of this, of the air on my skin, what it felt like to be, I was Jesus because I was one of the only young men, to be put in a headlock by the militia, pulled, that ended the scene and arrested Jesus and manhandled him, took him away. What I want to say about it, I'm digressing a little bit, but Jesus surrenders and says, "Thy will be done," only when he surrenders. Only when we surrender and don't argue with reality does the angel appear, and at that point he has the strength to get up and face the music because the militia arrive with Judas. Stevie Smith says this: "Drink deep the chalice of grief and sorrow held out for you by the dark angel of Gethsemane. The angel is not your enemy. The drink, though sharp, is nourishing, by which you may come to a deep peace than if you passed it by. The health of an opened heart." Somewhere else she writes, "By all means share my pain and share yours with me. But do not lie and pretend that you can make my pain disappear, for it's mine. And I want to mold it, to shape it, and to use it."